you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
What up, everybody? Yo, before we get started, I want to shout out Poetic Science. Yo, thank you for the comment, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
We had a really good episode. This one, we had Seton Smith in the building. Straight off. He released a new special on YouTube. Make sure you check that out. But before you check that out, make sure you like, share, subscribe, and comment, because you too can get a shout out at the beginning of the episode.
No need for apologies.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of
No Need for Apologies.
I'm Monroe Martin.
Gaines.
And we have a special episode for y'all today. We got the hilarious Seton Smith in this bitch.
What's up, y'all?
What up?
How you doing, man? How you been during this quarantine? You look slim. You look good, man. Taking care of yourself.
I've been enjoying it. I don't know if anybody else says this shit, but I've been living the quarantine life the last 3 years, so I've really just been in the flow. I ain't gonna lie.
And I know you're one punch man. You were simplest, or was it a minimalist or some shit like that?
Minimalist? Nah, I'm an introvert. That's the problem.
Yo, the introverted life is the best though, right? Like, people always make it sound like it's some sad shit. Like, oh, you're an introvert. It's like, I don't want to talk to people all the time.
Man, I was in like 7 schools before I was like 10.
Yeah.
So I just met everybody. I'm good. You're an army brat, right? No. I just had a mother who liked adventures.
She liked the benches? Yeah. Adventures.
Like, in the sense of like, nah, she was like, she didn't want to be on her deathbed and like regret not doing something. That's my mom. Yeah. So, so I just kept moving places over and over again. So.
So you ever moved out of the country?
Nah, I just kept going, like, just, you know, small, just to say. So I was born in California, but then I lived in South Carolina, then back to Cali, then Missouri, back to Cali again, then
State lines.
Yeah, I was just around America, getting to know the hemispheres and shit. And then
I always thought you was from D.C., because D.C. claims you hard.
Yeah, he sees dope. Yeah. So I started comedy. So that's where I became like a man, basically. Like, so absolutely. I'm always going. That place is my happiest memories, where I actually found myself. Like, it got to the point where I just walked down the street and buses would stop. And be like, yo, man, fucking love you. I'm like, I love you too, guys.
Like, what age were you in D.C.? Were you in high school in D.C. or that's where you went to college?
College. So I got there from 18 to about 29.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because when I went to D.C., people go, yo, you know Seton Smith? He's the man. I'm like, so I always thought you were from there. But that's special when you can go to a place and fucking take it over and then dip. And they're like, you ours. You're like the Kobe of D.C.
In retrospect, I did my best years to the motherfuckers. Like, I'm literally like, in retrospect, I'm like, I don't know why I spent my entire 20s. I should have went to L.A. and got the money. But I didn't want to be funny and not. I didn't want to be rich and not funny. That was my fear.
Absolutely.
No. I didn't want to be like, this nigga, I mean, he's good at movies, but he ain't funny in real life. I'm like, I ain't going to be me. I'd rather be a little bit less.
I think Patton Oswalt said, you got to become a local celebrity, then you leave. As soon as you become a local, like, dude, then you get out.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, and it sets you up for whatever you're going to do. That's what I did in Philly. Yeah. So I was like, okay, do that and then roll out. And then, you know, when you go back, you always got a stage to do at least an hour and a half for. So, yeah, I get it.
And then you just realize what fame is. It's just like, okay, this is how it works. Especially when you see a small market. Oh, it's like, all right, I got to get cool with the media company here. I got to get cool with these promoter people here. I got to find different little avenues and pockets of people. And then you get enough different groups of people who like you. So, like, I would be in the improv community, the storytelling community, but I was in the rock community. Yeah. Like, over 10 years, you just meet everybody, and then by the end, everybody's like, hey! It's like, oh, yeah. That's kind of how all of it works.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. There's a reason why niggas fucking do, you'll see Kevin Hart on The Bachelor. Yeah. You know? I'm like, oh, okay. That makes sense. It's like, oh.
You had a new special. You just dropped a new special on YouTube. It's like a mixtape comedy special.
Yeah,
that's dope. I like that.
Comedy special. Instead, I call it lockdown comedy special. But yeah, it's like I got my cell phone footage together, just edited a lot of the shit I like.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to tell the jokes no more. Like, so I was just like, I gotta get rid of this shit.
That was just a way of laying that shit to rest.
Yeah, I just wanted to rest, dude, because it was sucking my soul, and then something weird happened, right? If you ever go on my Instagram page, there's a link called Siri Heckled Me. Mm-hmm. And it was weird. That night, I was telling jokes about my ex, and then, like, somebody's phone went off. But it was weird. I said the sentence, yeah, me and my girlfriend broke up. And the phone said in a robotic voice, that's too bad.
Oh, yeah, I seen that shit. I thought that was somebody else's phone. I seen that. I didn't know that was your phone. I thought that was somebody else's phone.
That was somebody else's phone. Yeah, somebody else's phone did that. And so I was like, oh, that's fucking weird. That means that's a sign of, like, I got to get rid of this shit. This shit has to go. Right? That's so, I mean, it was a deep story. So yeah, I'm just trying it out and seeing what's going on. And it's like, yeah, I'm happy I did it.
Yeah. Oh, that's good, man. Derek just did his shit. Everybody's doing something. I may do something later.
Derek, I just filmed a special in my garage.
Oh, nice. How many people you going to have?
It happened already. I filmed it Sunday.
How many people did you have?
I had I think it was in total 14 in my driveway.
That's absolutely perfect.
That's fucking good.
Records were like that size.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dolomite was like that size. So it's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mic'd the driveway. So you hear the neighborhood, but you really hear, like, all my aunties came. So it's a lot of cats. So it's going to be great.
And you had, when are you releasing it? What are you releasing it on?
I'm going to try. See, that's what I got to hit you up about, because this is where I'm stupid with it. I'm going to have Manuel edit it.
Yeah.
And I'll figure out all the ins and outs with that.
Well, you going to have him edit the video? Why don't you have Neil edit the video?
No. Because Neil got other priorities. And plus, Manuel been cutting some flash shit together. It's like, I really want to try it out. It's only like 30 minutes. So it should be like, it should be like some artsy fartsy shit.
Yeah. Try it. That's the thing. Yeah. You want to try it. It's the thing. I don't like motherfuckers who make specials for you. They're fucking either stealing it or they're fucking it up. They don't shoot comedy specials right. And they fucking tell. I've seen this shit from other sides where a comedian be like, hey, can we have this? And then the people were like, oh, we can't do this. And I'd be like, yes, you can. Nigga, just move the camera and do it. But they got all their own fucking bullshit they got involved with. Yeah. Honestly, I've shot the special that I kind of always wanted to shoot. I've always wanted to capture the club life. And I've always wanted to, like, do a bunch of shows and make the right performance. The idea that you're supposed to just shoot it and make a perfect performance once doesn't make sense. Like, as an artist, actors get to have more takes. Everybody else gets more takes. We got to have fucking bottle magic. Anyways, crazy. It's crazy.
Bottle magic. So, put it.
See, I like both ideas, though. I feel like when I finally do work on a special, I'll do one that's, like, a shot in two nights, and then the side B would be a similar set, but like spliced out in different clubs, but like maybe like shit in between it, just to show you the making of it. Cause I grew up, like we all grew up watching those, the making of the music video before the music video premiered, and that got you more attached to it. Like, I like that shit.
Yeah.
So I wanna bring that back. Yeah.
Yeah,
and putting B-sides to comedy, I don't give a fuck. That's some real underground hip-hop shit to do anyway. Because that's, you should show off your writing style in comedy like that. If you got a B-side to the shit you already got, and it's different, it's like an encore on your own tape. That's shit.
It's like, yo, here's the other shit you missed out on.
I hear you. Yeah. I should bring up Louis, but shit. But his work ethic, man, just sit there and go like, fuck. I mean, when you see or even Gaffigan, little old Gaffigan, just when you see the work ethic, when you see they have a bunch of specials, but they have these thick sheets of paper with just so many things they gotta work. I've always admired that shit. I'm like, this is a work, it's like a fucking foreman. Just, all right, you gotta go to work. But I like that shit. Go to work, man.
Why can't you bring up Louis now? Like, you don't think he showed like some that he's apologetic about his behaviors?
Are fuck you that. If they're going to still shoot black people, we ain't forgiving Louis, though.
Oh, yeah. Hey, sorry. I can rock out with that. I can definitely rock out with that. Shit. I see. Yeah, no problem with that.
Yeah. I'm like, standing for everything.
I'm like, that makes sense.
Nothing's changing until black people stop getting hurt.
Yeah. That's right. Nothing changed. Get Breonna's killers.
That Breonna shit's weird, though.
That shit, yeah.
Weird.
It was a trap house.
Was it, though? Because yeah. I thought, because the report I read was that they mistook it as a trap house because they had got a warrant to break in to like bust down the house like a couple miles down, but they also had got reports that some activity was going on at her house, but they had the wrong address. So that's not true.
I don't know. Here's the thing. Yeah. That's the one story is it was a trap house. Another story for me, when I was 4 years old, I remember I was subject to a fucking police raid with SWAT teams. That way I got the wrong address too. So I don't believe that story that it was like a trap house. So I'm like, fuck, I am. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, all these cop shit's interesting. Here's another cop shit. I was having a long conversation last night. This one chick, because she has a friend who was a cop for a long time. And she keeps doing all these other sides of it. And the other sides of it, I get a lot, but most of it I don't, because their main premise is this. For example, the Atlanta shit, the Atlanta Raven Brooks trip. She was like, yo, that dude had a chance. He had a bunch of chances, but he broke his chances. I'm like, why the fuck are we starting there of like, you're going to get murdered unless you go do the dot, dot, dot. Why the fuck is that the standard, yo? When did that become the standard?
Yeah.
Yo. So I don't know. That's my main problem.
What was his chance? What was this dude's chance to not get shot? I don't get that.
Her argument was once he grabbed the taser and ran, he should have kept running. Once he stopped to turn around and shoot the taser, that's when he lost his chance. And I was like,
but okay. Even if he turns around and shoot a taser, it's not a death penalty. It's a fucking taser. Y'all was about to shoot the nigga with it.
Exactly.
And it was like, you know he ain't gonna kill you, so why would you kill him?
Exactly, he's not trying to kill you. When a man shoots a taser at you, he is not a deadly
fucking just trying to get away. He's just trying to live.
Why is that your standard? But then I had to take a breath. I was like this. There's a bigger problem here. The fucking gun sit is a bigger problem. If black people, we got together and banned guns, we can't ban guns because we'll just ban guns from us. That's a problem.
Absolutely.
But that's the only time there is gun laws. Whenever there's like, when there's too many niggas with guns, too many gangs have guns and shit, they're like, all right, y'all niggas need to calm down.
Exactly. That's the only way we're going to get like guns illegal is if every black person buys a gun today. That's the only way.
I would do it. I want a gun now. I want a fucking gun. I will not use it, but I want one just because I'm like, well, if it's my right, then I want that right.
I've been fighting, as y'all know, for like 5-6 years now. And like, I was having a conversation like, I could fight, but that ain't really that useful. I do want to. That ain't that useful. They asked Mike Tyson when he went to prison. It's like, yo, they respected you. He's like, I can't fucking fight 100 motherfuckers in one bet. It's gonna beat me. So he's like, oh yeah. If Mike Tyson's saying that, then my little karate shit ain't gonna do nothing.
Fight 100 niggas. This ain't the raid.
I think Mike Tyson could fight 100 niggas.
There was a time in his life where he definitely would have fought 100 niggas.
I think Mike Tyson in his prime could fight 100 niggas back to back and beat more than 50%.
See, back to back,
I can see him stuffing tags under his hat and everything.
No, not back to back, like
going in like the hurricane.
Yeah. I'm talking about 100 consecutive days. We got to get his man a chance to relax. I think 100 consecutive days of Mike Tyson fighting, I think he would trash more than 50%. I think he would trash a good 70 to 75%.
Yes. That's the problem with fighting.
Executive fight.
Yeah.
That's the problem with boxing. It's a very sophisticated, gentlemanly sport.
Yes. But
jail fighting ain't that at all.
Exactly. So the last half would definitely catch on to that and go, yo, this nigga tired. I'm not fighting him conventionally. I'm punching this nigga in the throat. I'm kicking him in the nuts.
If he's smart, he would find a narrow, you gotta find a narrow space where only a few motherfuckers can come down. He could just fight. But if you're in an open yard, you fucked, yo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So And he don't know anything else except punching. And you can't only punch so many people with these kind of hands. Aren't built for punching. They're built for surgery. They're built for delicate things. Yeah. You got to use elbows.
Damn. Yo, let me ask you a question about the MMA thing, because I talked to you before about it. Like, mm-hmm. what got you into it? And, like, is it, like, was it, like, a mental health thing? Was it, like, you were just kind of, like, bored?
I was always wanted to box when I was a kid. My dad wouldn't let me. And then I moved to a bunch of schools, so I got punked with a motherfucker a lot.
Yeah.
And then, like, in my 20s, I just didn't have the money. And then finally I got here, and I was just like, we live three blocks away from this one place. And if it was a boxing gym, I would have went there. But this place is an MMA gym.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, cool. And then I just, my ex took it, and she didn't, was like, whatever. And I took it, and I was like, oh, I love this shit. And then, I don't know. It grew on me. And then it became a bunch of different things. But, like, because I was a runner a lot, and I used to run for mental, spiritual purposes. Yeah. And then fighting has much more spiritual, like, history and shit. And then I started just getting, and once I understood how much you can kind of connect it with God and understand yourself and learn things, and then, like,
would you mind get the connection with God and fighting? Like, how does that
come? Oh, well, like, well, mainly it's humility.
No.
Once you realize that you don't, like, you're kind of like, when you're fighting, you can't think. You got to be in the moment, kind of like on stage. You got to, like, prepare a lot. And then when you fight, you got to, like, let go. And kind of just kind of let the cosmos go. So it's really, like, when I say God, there's a book I read when I was 19 called The Zen and the Art of Archery. It was about this Zen, this philosopher who went to Japan to learn Zen. But they were like, you can't learn Zen directly. You got to learn it through an art form. So we picked up archery.
Yeah.
And the thing about the Japanese bow is like the full size. It's your whole body, like 6 feet. And there's a particular way you got to kind of like shoot it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he's like, he's trying to find the trick of it all. And they were like, there's no trick. Yeah. You actually have to open yourself up and let God hit the target. You don't hit the target. You just become, you're the gateway.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, all right. Right, he was like, I don't know what the fuck that means. And so he kept trying to find a trick, until one day he just failed. He's like, man, fuck, I can't figure it out. I'm just going to fail out of the school. Fuck it. And he just gave up. And that's when it all started to work. You know?
That's deep. That's deep shit.
That's cool. Yeah. That's where that term let go and let God comes from. I never got that shit. I thought it was just like, I thought it was like a cool way of saying fuck it. I thought that was like my grandmother's
being like,
No, you got to understand that everything you want's already laid. The foundation for everything you want's already laid down. You just have to get out of the way and make it happen. You got to think about it like that. It's like, I mean, I don't mean that like as a hippie. I mean that just literally. If you're a comedian, you're naturally a comedian. You work. Like, for example, we all here. Nobody fucking woke us up. Like, you better be a comedian. Like, we literally just like, I'm going to do it. That means if you're already prepared mentally to do it, that means you've already been doing it. That means the path's already there. Like, say, like, we're not born in a vacuum. We're born.
You got an air fryer, yo?
Nah, I'm just baking them.
Oh.
Oh, word.
Just cut them into wedges and shit and just put some olive oil on the motherfuckers.
Look at this. We're cooking with Seton, y'all. That's why I said this was a special show, yo.
Olive oil on the motherfuckers. It's got to be on
the picture. Olive oil changed the game with shit, man. Makes a lot of mediocre things good.
Yo, do you use grapeseed oil? I just discovered that shit.
Ooh, what do you use it with?
You used grapeseed oil before? I didn't know about it until I watched Questlove's potluck joint on the Food Network.
Uh-huh.
All the people he had on there were cooking with grapeseed oil, and it has a higher burn content. So when you cook with grapeseed oil, it doesn't burn as fast as olive oil and shit. So you can like literally cook with it and like get a good sear without ever burning the oil. And I bought these
It depends on how you got the fire too. Let's not
absolutely won't get no smoke. You will never get any smoke. You can't burn it takes a lot to burn grapeseed oil. But I tested it on these sushi grade tuna steaks that I got from a spot around in Brooklyn. I think it was near Bushwick. And I did it and I seared it on both sides. Nigga, that shit was delicious.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
There is a large black men population of cooks. Is this talked about enough? Cause like, do you know Alzo Slade?
Yeah.
He has like not like a pie recipe. He has like a pie hobby. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knows the fuck out of pies. And I'm just like, I don't sit down and
so funny.
I just don't think that. Like, that's, but it's like normal. I'm like, that makes sense. All right, he's got a pie recipe. Like, my dad has a sweet potato pie recipe.
Yeah.
I'm like, I love cooking. And I'm like, it makes complete sense that you cook. I'm like, this is weird. What happened?
I think
made pies during quarantine.
Yeah. Did you?
I did, yeah.
Pies are the shit. Wait, what kind of pie you make? I'm hungry. What you get?
This is apple pie, but with the lattice folds, with the lattice work on the top crust, with the
little egg cinnamon on that shit.
I was hooking it up, yeah.
So you spend a lot of time on the crust. That's the thing. Alzo really is it was a crust conversation. Right? It's like,
crust. You gotta have a good crust.
I feel like the crust makes the pie. If there's if the crust stinks, then your pie sucks.
Right. You're absolutely right. This is like
syrup and fruit or syrupy fruit, but it's the crust. How you make that crust up? Yeah.
This is a fucking healthy can't conversation.
Can't underbake it. That shit could be just right.
Yeah,
if more white cops would watch us having pie conversations,
they don't believe. They just think they think it's all chicken and fucking chopped cheeses and crack.
Crack in a jar in a pot of boiling water.
I was like, no, I'm making polenta, officer. This looks like yellow crack to me.
I'm farming grits. You need 10 minutes in order to get in the grit.
Yep.
I'm not doing nothing.
Shut up, man.
Yeah, I think I want to get into cooking a little bit more. My wife has been doing the cooking a lot more. Like, I like bacon, but now I want to. Cooking is like relaxing. If no one's in your way, and it's just you, and you put on a good podcast or put on an album and shit, it's just like you and the cook. I think that's like the let go and let God thing because you're not thinking too much. You're just this, move with this. Yeah.
You're just putting in them seasonings.
Any moment if you can line up your imagination, your breathing, and your physicality, you are in a hypnotic state and you're in a higher vibration. That's some shit I just learned in the last month. I'm like, I literally think about everything you've ever done. If you've ever been an athlete, imagination, breath, body. If you're a comedian, imagine breath, body. Imagination. I didn't understand how important the body was until I started doing fighting too. That was the thing. Because, with stand-up, I can fight through emotions if I'm scared. I'll just fucking be funny. But, fighting, you got to really manage your emotions because they're a factor. Being afraid is a fucking thing. And so when you got to know how you act when you're afraid so you can compensate for it, that's the thing. To compensate for fear was a concept I never thought of before.
Yeah.
So doing those fight tournaments kind of taught me. I was like, the first fight tournament, I was in the video. I would put that online, my first fight, because it was hilarious. I just was like, I was just scared. And then it was fucked up because 1 minute in, or maybe 40 seconds in, I was like, okay, I'm done, I'm tired. And it was a 2 minute fight though. And right? And then I had a second fight because I won the first one. So I had a second fight. And I was tired 15 seconds in. And I was like, I don't want to fight no more. And they were like, all right. And I lost. But then they're like, all right, you got to fight again. I was like, but I lost. And now you got a third fight. I was like, fuck. So I was tired of that whole motherfucker. So then I learned, I got to learn how to not do that. So I got into shape. But then I realized I would get into shape, but then I would still be fucking getting out of gas. I was like, my fear was taking all my energy out. I was like, I got to learn how to fucking.
Because the adrenaline makes your body rush, and then you're like, all right, fuck, I get that.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to fight? How long did it take you to build up to the fight?
They didn't let me spar for the first year and change, year and a half. But I was on the road a lot too anyway, but for the first year and a half, they were really like, you ain't gonna kickbox like that. But they let me do jiu-jitsu maybe 6 months in. So jiu-jitsu rolling, it's a lot more safer, so they'll let you do that whenever, but the kicking and shit, you got to learn how to breathe. And even then, even when I started fighting, I didn't know how to breathe when we were practicing because I would be like, yeah, go! But now I learned, I had to learn how to breathe. And once I started learning the little trick of 50% of your brain on breathing and focusing the other 50% on your body, it just for some reason, you just have a little bit more of a grip on the ground. And that grip is just a whole new world. And so, you watch my first fight, my last fight, it was just like, okay, one was I was too calm. I was actually kind of just measuring a lot, and I would hit one or twice. So I was like, okay, now I got to find the middle ground. I got to get in that middle ground. I can calm, explode. So, but it's just fun. It's just a fun hobby.
How often do you get hurt? Have you got injured to the point where you couldn't film shit? Like you if you showed up to an audition and they like, yo, so how'd you get that black eye?
Nah, yeah. I've gotten busted lips and like noses, but the eyes, no. Honestly, I got a lot of help. I don't know if you know Mert from the cellar.
Yeah, Master
Mert. Security guards know a lot about fucking fighting. So yeah. Just pick the brain. I started learning how to, like, you know, protect my face. And also, I don't fight hard like that with random people. I actually, like, when it's, like, a person I don't know, I'll go, like, 50%. We just get to know each other. If it's, like, a motherfucker, when I actually get to know you and we, like, train, like there, I have training partners who I'll be like, all right, we're going to go 100%, but, like, only, like, once a month, because we got to build up to it, because our bodies can't take that much punishment. And so, because we love each other, we go there. I've had two partners who I'm like, I can go crazy. You know, one was like 22, the other one's 19. Yeah. And then my old ass is like, let's try some shit.
Are you going to try any other forms, or are you going to like go to like Muay Thai? I fucks with Muay Thai.
But my school is like an MMA, so it's like, we do Muay Thai.
So it's a bunch of, yeah.
We do Muay Thai theoretically. It's more kickboxing, but it's...
You're still a Tiger Showman? In Brooklyn?
Okay. Yeah, I get the black belt, I think. Like, I'm still testing for the black belt now, so once I get that motherfucker, then I'll move on to, like, something else.
Yo, bro, I drove by him in the Buick, and Seton was whooping ass.
Nigga. Yeah?
Like, I mean, I drove by, he was throwing kicks at some nigga. I was like, oh, shit!
Was that the morning or nighttime?
Like a front kick? Is it called a teep? Or so I just
could have been a teep. I actually may know who the dude you're talking about. Yeah, that dude was a Taekwondo. That dude was rough. That dude was fun. It's fun, man, because you realize once you get over the fear of that contact, you didn't realize how much fun you could have. Like, because like a lot of the Muay Thai dudes, they're cool with it. They're just tapping each other, having fun, learning. Yeah. Well, it's only in America where you try to fight with their fucking dick.
Yeah, a lot of people got an aggression, so they trying to fuck you up.
Yeah. But sometimes you can still get fucked up and have a good workout, because it's healthy to put yourself in uncomfortable circumstances. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You have to be in uncomfortable circumstances so you can learn yourself more. So that's the thing. I get comfortable, and I know, okay, I can't do this. So, like, my fun dream is hopefully this year I can start training at headquarters, where sometimes I've only done, like, twice, but it's, like, headquarters where all the professionals fight. So I got to, like, the other day I got to spar with a guy who fights in Bellator, and I was just fucking dope. That's all I want. I just want to spar with the niggas. My dream is just to be the old nigga at the gym. The old nigga at the gym that kind of knows shit and can fuck up the young kids but doesn't want to do it. Like, that's actually a real thing. It's always like, whoever the champion is, there's somebody at that gym that can fuck him up just because he's a lawyer, so you don't have time.
Okay.
Do you get like special treatment that you're like? Do you get special treatment since you're a comic and like you've been on TV and shit? Are they like that's Seton?
Don't hit my face.
Yeah, they're like, don't hit my face. Hit your face.
Yeah. But the dude who could beat your ass still gets much more respect. We've all been around the most famous people in the world who come into the cellar, and we're like, but I'm telling you, if you whooped the biggest nigga in the gym's ass, you feel like that. You feel like Kevin Hart. I'm telling you, there's no difference in the respect between a celebrity and a dude who, like, if a dude whooped my ass and it was a celebrity, tell him there's the same amount of respect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yo, that dude just choked me out and I had to ask him 6 times not to kill me. He has my respect, yo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's like my fame bug has been met. Like, I understand how it feels. It's dope.
Damn. I want to do that.
So you're saying you beat the biggest nigga in the gym?
I've had days where it's happened, but I've also had days where it's not happened. And I had to like learn humility and connect to God and go, okay, I did not know that.
You're like, all right, Jesus, I got you. I figured that one out on my own.
It's above me now.
And even when I use my ego, I'm afraid to even go like, what the fuck? Because that's ego and pride. And any path towards ego can get you fucked up. That's my whole thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you're fucking too angry, you get fucked up. If you're too prideful, you get fucked up. If you're too greedy, you get fucked up. You know what I mean? Every sin, if you're too lazy, you get fucked up. It's all a sin. So I'm like, nah, man, connect to God. Be humble. Go with love.
So you practice that in life now, though, not just comedy, but in life, you're more like, yo, you know, I'm calm. I feel the calmness whenever I'm around you. You know, there's some comics that you just feel their fucking franticness and their energy. It is like, damn, why the fuck am I nervous? Why the fuck am I anxious? I don't feel that.
Yeah, I had to learn it because I had to learn like how energy connects, and I didn't realize what energy does to people. And like when I was, I've been around fighters who actually go to real fights.
Yeah.
And I've learned that you actually, you have to learn how to speak to them. They're going to go in there and fucking sacrifice their body. They're not in a good mood. And so when they flip out on you, I've started forgiving them. Because like, well, yeah, you're about to have a fight. Of course you're going to be in that mood. And they're like, what's you? And I've never like thought about it. I never was unselfish. I used to be like, well, why is that guy being an asshole? Now I get it. People have shit on their minds. Like, like when Hasan Minhaj walks into the fucking the cellar. You know, we've been cool for years, but I'm not going to bother him. Nigga, he's got a TV show. This shit's on his mind. He's got a family, he's got a TV show, he's got a tour. Like, hello, how you doing? I don't want to fucking bug you out. I mean, I want to say something, maybe lighten your mood up. That's it. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, you want to be, you want the importance of good energy before a fight now has, like, made me understand, like, how to, like, in life, just, like, the times in life where I was putting negative energy into shit, thinking I was being helpful. You know, like, we come, we've all had development deals where somebody comes in and just like, this doesn't work, and this doesn't work, and this is like, that's not helpful. I didn't realize that before. That's not helping nobody.
Yeah, because like, they just put their energy on you.
Yeah, and you actually can't solve a problem. You can't solve a problem in a finding a problem mind state.
Wow. Yeah, the reptilian brain thing. Yeah, I used to go to these stress relieving courses. And that's what he was breaking down. He was like, you can't figure the shit out in your own life until you get out of that survival mode brain. When you're always in survival mode, like, you can't think, you can't be creative. You're just literally like, you're in this manic state, and nothing good comes from that. And then I started to argue with him, like, nigga, but what about the hood? What about the oppression? It's like,
what about reality? You're like, reality is a fucking construct.
Yep.
There's two things. One,
what do you mean a construct? What do you mean by that? Like, reality is a construct.
Okay, this is going to be weird, and it's going to take a second for me to understand. Okay.
Get weird, nigga. Get weird. Shit. I'm here for it.
I want to hear. Yeah.
Okay. In the Bible, they say the word is God, and God is the word. Mm-hmm. Now, I used to always interpret that as the Bible, but I'm starting to realize there's a different interpretation of that. I think he meant literally, the language we use to communicate is the language that creates the world, because God creates, words create. For example, I can either be doing one of multiple things in reality. Depending on how I shape my sentence is how my emotions will react to the situation, which will mean how I experience things. For example, I'm standing here talking to you. That's a neutral statement.
Yeah.
I'm standing here really enjoying myself. But, all right, that's nice. Man, this conversation sucks. It's two different interpretations of the same thing. That's two different worlds I just showed you. I showed you a shitty world and a happy world. And that's our choice we have every moment of every day. And once I realized that, and it's all about our language. The shit we say to our head is the images we have. So you keep repeating shitty images in your head. That's your choice. The shitty world is your choice. You can either say, like, for example, when a cop stopped me, I can either say, this is my oppression, and I can start shaking, because I've had those moments where I'm like, these motherfuckers are fucking going to get to me. Or I could be like, I ain't do shit. And it's like, hey, we're kind of annoying. I ain't do shit. That's the same reality. There's two different realities there. And one reality, I'm going to live. One reality, I may die. I'm going to act. So it's like, we create our realities. Like, that's, and once I realize that shit, I'm like, oh. Because I'm, it's like, oh, yo, this is why I want to get it on black people. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to be helpful on this shit, but I didn't realize hypnosis is a real thing. I used to think of hypnosis as like on stage, like, tricks.
Oh, yeah.
Nah, man.
Medical hypnosis, which was actually established in 1958, is a real fucking thing. They say that their philosophy is everybody's always in a trance. It's your job to get them on your trance. We're always in a trance. Any kind of trance. If you're listening to somebody, you're in a trance. If you are watching TV, you're in a trance. If you're driving and you're into it, you're in a trance. It's just being sucked into shit. It's a trance. The little inner voice in your back of your head is hypnotizing you into shit. When they're always saying all that negative shit or positive shit, it is repeating. It's hypnosis. Hypnosis is repetitive. Tell me.
Yeah.
And so when we keep saying that we're oppressed, when people talk about the big victim mentality, they're saying it wrong. They're saying it like it's a fault thing. Like, it's your fault. You niggas act like victims. No. I'm saying that we are hypnotized. We're hypnotizing ourselves in this fucked up reality, because when we first got here slaves, we were hypnotizing some bullshit. And we ain't never break the spell. But wow. Spell is like literally the arrangement of words. You know, you could, I mean, I don't know. Here's a small thing. My ex-girlfriend, as we know, she came from money. I did not come from money. So her reactions to not having money and my reactions to not having money are two different reactions. My reaction to money is, oh, I'm fucked. Her reaction to money is, it's going to come. Both are true. No matter how poor you are, money is coming. It always does. So don't you focus on what you ain't got. You focus on what you ain't got. You're fucked up, yo. Again, you start blaming people and you're in that mentality. So there's a victim mentality versus an abundance mentality. And it's not it's not a fucking putting black people down. It's like a, yo, there's something bigger going on here. That has nothing to do with race. It's just like your fucking life, yo. This is your life.
Yeah.
So, and that's just my discoveries these last couple of years.
I can definitely get into that. Growing up, like when I hit 16, I it wasn't like the trans thing, but the reality thing was you can be a victim or you can be a product. A victim is somebody who's always going to blame what happened to them on the reason they're not where they want to be, but a product is going to use where their experiences to get them where they want. And they're always going to be proud of that moment. They're going to be more grateful. Because I always looked at being grateful was a step towards having a better life. If you're grateful for even the shitty things you went through, then be like, fuck, I survived that versus fuck, why me? You'll have like a more freeing life. And you know what I mean?
Oh, God. Here's a better thing. Back to the thing about the brain. Oh, my God. Think about the brain. Is if you ask
I can't hear you.
Questions.
It's like frozen.
Oh, my bad. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We good?
Yeah. And like, I couldn't. Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's the thing about the brain. If you ask a question, it's gonna answer it. So if you ask shitty questions, it's gonna answer that shitty ass with more. So if you ask why is this happening to me, you're always gonna get a reason. Yeah. But if you ask yourself, like, here's another fun trick. Instead of doing affirmations, you do the informations, which is like, ask yourself, why am I gonna be successful? And your brain's gonna answer. You do it yourself. Why am I gonna kill this fucking show? And your brain will just answer. And then you just start, like, I didn't realize that that's a wonderful, you just feel better when you ask questions like that. And like, that shit builds up. Yeah. Now, let me go back to that point, back to fighting. I discovered this in fighting from the tournaments, because I realized, I remember this one tournament, I was losing, and I was tired as fuck. And I kept telling myself, I'm tired. And then I realized, like, okay, that's not working. So I think somebody gave me a point, like, yo, think about power words. Give yourself, like, strength. Like, give yourself, like, yo, think, like, I don't know, big strength. Think, I'm going to do this. You know, like, just think about that. And just suddenly my body just, you know, reacted to it. I was like, oh, it's, and I was like, this is a microcosm for life. If I'm telling myself I'm losing all the time, like,
well, life,
where am I doing this at? So I had to be like, I gotta stop. I gotta fucking either get neutral or just fucking focus on the things that are good, like you just said. Man. Ask myself good questions. Fucking realize, like, I'm just hypnotizing myself
with
a shitty life.
Yeah, man.
So, yo, let's get to these
mental strength.
I like mental strength. All right, so we got a segment that we just started doing called Is It Helping or Is It Hurting? Right now we have the NBA edition because, you know, basketball is making its way back.
Yeah.
You know that, right? It's making its way back. And I thought it would be fun. Yeah, so now I'm like UFC or WWE. WWE been like, we don't need an audience, nigga. they just do matches in these quarantine matches at the wrestling facility in Connecticut. And they have just the wrestlers out standing behind glass cheering each other on. And then the ones that can fight are just fighting. They still cut the same promos. The energy is still the fucking same, which makes me believe wrestling doesn't need an audience.
Wow.
They don't. I'm like, you don't need it. You just need passionate people who believe in themselves. But
I feel that way about UFC. I hate UFC crowds. They're booing all the time for no reason.
Yeah.
More action. Shut the fuck up. Just watch.
It's like you got niggas getting elbowed and fucking.
I barely got gloves on. And it's just broke nose with y'all niggas. Y'all spin people. Is around. I'd be like, I can't. Like, you ever seen, you know, they nose be in their cheek? I'd be like, I can't.
That happened to my teacher. Yeah, one of my teachers got, he got kneed in the face to the point where, there's a turtle. Well, literally, that turtle came out of his face and was just sitting there. and he was teaching class like the next day. I was like,
oh. God damn. Oh, he did a match?
Yeah, he did a match. He did a UFC fight, and then he came taught, like, he fought on Saturday. He was fighting. He was teaching that Tuesday.
And did you, like, yeah, you ain't going to do nothing about that turtle coming out of your face, nigga?
Ain't nothing to do. Can't let it heal.
Yeah. All right, Dylan, you ready? All right. So, all right, see, we're going to play a little segment that we like to call, is it helping or is it hurting? We change the topics all the time. The last one, it was about white people at protests. This yep. one is about the NBA. They're making a comeback. And I want to know if these players or if these crowd members are hurting their team or hurting their team.
Helping their team or hurting?
Hurting or helping?
Helping the team or the Black Lives Matter?
Helping the team or hurting the team. That's why I didn't know he was going to show that picture because that wasn't a part of it. Oh, I was like, oh, okay. I just improv it. I just yes and that shit. I was like, okay, well, I can't complain.
All right. Yeah. All right. Oh, yeah. Helping the team, hurting the team. Let's do this.
That wasn't in the notes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we got Joel Embiid eating a whole fucking burger. Is he helping or hurting the team, y'all?
I would say helping. He's like 25. His body's fine. He can do that shit.
You don't think this dude gonna get the bubble guts in the middle of a game?
But I
think his metabolism is on a scale that me and you can't really imagine. I think. I think. Yeah. I think he's fine. I think you would get bubble guts, but I think.
Yeah. That's the bubble guts. Yeah.
Bro, think about
his arms.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's running that
bro. He's a giant. He's lugging around 300 pounds. It's going to burn off before it even has a chance to bubble up.
But even if he gets the bubble guts, he's still going to be helping the team because now, like, niggas ain't going to want to stick D on him if he's farting, if he's fucking crop dusting back and forth.
At least it's not McDonald's.
His ass is in their faces. He is, like, 9 feet tall, so it ain't like they going to miss that. I understand.
I mean,
he ain't helping nobody else.
I feel like burgers at sports games are equivalent to McDonald's burgers, though.
Is he like, wasn't he injured this year? If he was injured this year, this is unacceptable.
You're damn right. I remember how sad I was when I seen Andre Iguodala eating a Big Mac at McDonald's. Like when he was still on the Sixers, me and Chris Cotton, we seen him at McDonald's and we just shook our head. Like, come on, nigga, that's why we losing, yo.
Yo, man, I saw D Wade eating cheesesteaks in Philly. I think they lost too.
Yep. All right, next picture. Let's go with the next picture, yo. We got this Philly fan. I definitely think they're hurting. This dude is flicking off Russ after he fucking, I think, how many points did Russ score during this game? This is a game we definitely lost.
Oh, yeah, with that.
I think he dropped 30.
He dropped 30, and this dude was mad. This accountant was very pissed off that.
Is that an Iverson jersey? Am I crazy?
Absolutely. And that's the type of behavior you have to have in an Iverson jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think he's really fitting the space. He's really the best. He's the one who cares the most on this whole fourth floor, actually. He's very passionate.
He's the most passionate.
I agree.
The only thing you can do in the Iverson jersey is getting fights at bowling alleys. Like, that's the only thing you should be doing.
All right.
Let's go to this next one.
What if that guy was a cop?
I'm pretty sure that was a cop. Like, looking at the way he's built, like, a lot of cops are built like that. All right, you got this. You got Drake. Drake claps in the back of this player's head. I can't even tell. What is that, the Pelicans? No, not the Pelicans. Indiana Pacers. I think Drake is fucking annoying in this one. But do you think he's helping the Toronto Raptors or is he hurting the Toronto Raptors?
God damn.
Drake is like a baby mom. That's like the baby mom.
Yeah, I think Drake takes it too far.
I feel like it's a draw. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's fucking Toronto. Like, what else do they have? Outside of that one ring, everybody knew the ring's not coming back. Like, why take Drake away from them too? There's nothing else they have.
You know how many people probably show up to the game just to see Drake? Like, people just show up to the game to see Drake. They don't show up to see anybody else.
Yeah.
That was cool as fuck that he supported a fucking garbage team and then they fucking won. That was cool.
He's the mascot that did it. He was that was their driving force. He was the fuel.
Yeah, they rid of the Reptar. They got rid of the fucking T-Rex and they just replaced it with Drake. Like Drake. Come out during halftime shows and it's slam dunk.
It's much more respectable than Jack Nicholson because Jack Nicholson was like, Lakers were already winning when he was there. Like, yo, this motherfucker went to like a losing squad. Like, yo, this is fucking like, what? I would do the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you billionaire. Think he's
worse than Spike Lee?
No, because this nigga got a ring. Spike Lee.
Spike Lee
makes no sense. He joined a losing team. Got nothing. Like I don't know. It's just like.
Spike friends with Jordan. That's the most ring he'll ever get, that he's friends with Michael Jordan.
Yeah, and he made some great commercials back in the mid-'80s. And he came out with
And they got a sneaker together.
Yeah. I think the commercials and that fucking the Malcolm X, and that's pretty much all I like from Spike. Inside Man, though, was okay. Maybe I shouldn't talk shit.
You didn't. No, it ain't talking shit. You didn't like Summer of Sam?
No.
Oh, you got like artistically, I liked it. I liked
it. There was no art in it. There was no fucking story. Fuck that story. It was a clear cut story on he built it and he fucking went on these fucking rants. Fuck him. No.
But they took away.
I like it. It's my favorite Spike flick.
What is?
She Hate Me.
Also fucking crazy nonsense. He doesn't know how to write the end.
Look, I liked it because I felt even like Summer
Malcolm
Sam.
Malcolm X had a bat built in. Malcolm X, he gets shot. Movie should be over. Why was it 15 more minutes of that movie? I'm like, wait, all right, sorry, man.
Because the movie just can't end when a nigga gets shot, but a dude dead. It's like, all right, over.
I guess there's a lot of examples of Braveheart ended when he died.
Yeah.
Braveheart did end when he died.
Yeah,
he did. 300 ended when he died.
Nobody's going, I am blah, blah. I am William Wallace. No, I am
Malcolm X. I thought Summer of Sam, I only fight for Summer of Sam because I looked at it as, I know it's supposed to be his version of a hybrid movie, but a hybrid horror or whatever. But I didn't really look at it as a horror. I looked at it as more of like a suspense comedy type thing. It was more funny than comedy. It was way more funny than it was scary. At
was
all.
Was it funny by accident? That's got to be the first.
Fuck, funny by accident is still funny by accident is funny on purpose to me. If you,
because let me tell you, Jeepers Creepers 2 to this day is funnier than Coming to America because of the acting is so bad.
Absolutely, and if you see
Jeepers Creepers 2. It's so mistakenly hilarious. It's hilarious. Like, you know, these people was trying to get they're trying to get Oscars, but it's terrible acting.
We got two more. Let's go with Colin. I said Colin, but I'll deal with that.
What's this? Oh, wait, hold on.
Colin Sexton. Am I saying it right? Colin Sexton, his sumo defense. Like, of course, this is helping because the most ridiculous dude is better at defense. Like, look at Dennis Rodman. You got to fucking make a nigga giggle. You got to make him scared. You got to do whatever you can do to get that ball out of his hand.
What was that, like a haka or something? Sumo.
Yeah.
Thing.
The, wah, wah.
Hey, man, whatever.
It didn't bother me. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, I mean, I think like now that I fight, I find basketball to be so girly. That I'm like, it's such a girly sport. It's so girly, and they act so predominant, and they just touch each other and slap each other, and they cry when they get fucking touched. I'm like, yeah, he's trying to be graceful. You know, I kind of mess with that, and I, yeah. I mean, you got to defend them. That's actually defensive. That's like old. That's old. What's that thing called? What's that phrase called? It's like deep horse stance. That's like a kung fu move.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm looking at the shit. He still, it worked because the dude missed a shot anyway.
He missed a shot.
All right, this is the last one we got. This last one, I definitely think these people were hurting their chances, but I'll let you see.
So I wasn't good at LeBron basketball, left. Though, so I ain't gonna, that's why I'm calling it a bitch-ass sport.
Oh, no, that's fine. I wasn't either.
what's up?
So this is when LeBron left the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, you're only Prince and Wade's country, liar, baby jerk. 11-8 looks like you left your talents in Cleveland. Akron hates you too, LeBron. Like father, like son. That's funny. This is in Cleveland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
This was
when he first came back.
And also, don't forget, they all threw batteries. I couldn't find a picture of that because you can't find pictures of batteries in the air, but they did throw batteries.
So when they scanned people to come into the stadium, ain't nobody was like, yo, what the fuck you got all these spare batteries for that aren't in any appliances? You don't have a radio. You don't have a walkie-talkie. Like, why the fuck do you have these batteries? Batteries aren't even for sale at a stadium.
No.
I'd assume like AAA, AA.
Double A. They came out the back of the remotes, baby. That's what that was. Before they left the house, they yanked him out the back of the remote and was like, we're going to throw it at LBJ. And then he turned around and got him a ring, didn't he? This is for you.
Yeah, I wonder. Is this the year they got the ring?
The Heat or? This was the year the Heat lost. The next year they won. They won back-to-back. This is his very first game back with the Heat.
With the Heat or with the Cavs?
Yeah, this is like a Cavs.
He's returning to Cleveland. This is his very first game. That's why it says 11-8 because the Heat started off a little bumpy.
Mm.
Oh, all right.
I'm a Heat fan, so I'm kind of passionate about this too.
Okay. Are you still a Heat fan now that they don't have anybody?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a bigger Heat fan. Actually, when Derek said that D-Wade comment, I did get a little mad. I was like, damn, Wade. I was like, come on, I hate Philly.
Wade was eating cheesesteaks at
issue. That pisses me off.
He had a good year, that Wade. 2004. Oh, that was pretty. He was really good there. That was a good one. Yeah.
All right. And I think that's it.
And now he's like a fashionista. Don't he like do runway modeling or some shit like that?
No, his son is gay.
Oh, why? Okay, I got
you. Yeah, so, how did you confuse
and his son is daughter now. His son is his daughter, right? His son is the daughter he thought he knew he had.
I don't know why people internalize other people's way of life so much.
That annoys me.
How do you feel about that, Seton? When I see people like, I like for people to have like a strong opinion on how somebody has a
else is living.
Yeah, it's like, yo, this is his son, it's not your son. Why does it matter if his son identifies as a girl or a boy? Like, how does it affect you? Like, I don't get it.
Because black people hate gays, so you know, we gotta get over that.
Wait, you really believe that?
There's nothing about that situation that doesn't say that black people still hate gays.
But I think. I don't know.
Everything about that situation says we hate gays. Stop treating them gay. It's like, whoa.
But I think, I've never looked at it as, I try my best to not look at it as a race thing. I looked at it as a more of a cultural and a generational thing because white people are just as homophobic. Like old white dads are just as homophobic and abusive and ready to kick their kids out of the family as black and Hispanic and all that shit. Yeah. And I feel like for that to be put on just one specific race is fucked up. Look how sharp his son is, or daughter, or whatever it is. It looked
like an AKA, or she like an AKA sorority girl with the colors.
She looks like Lupita Nyong'o, and I'm fine.
Yeah. Like a young Lupita, live and living color. Yeah.
I mean, look at Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson, though, gets no love for how much he supported his son early on before this shit even was a thing. He was doing this shit with Oprah back in like late 90s, fucking 2000s. He was like, yeah, that's my son. Fuck all y'all. I was just like, yo. So, I mean, if anything, they're just late. They're late to the game. And like, yeah, I mean, yeah, gay people, I mean, black, yeah, white people, I'm not going to say they're big. I know this conversation will be weird because I mean, like, I got in trouble on the radio. Because white people, I don't know. Like, we can't, I don't hate white people. I think there's so many different pockets though. But I obviously they don't love them that much. I think trans people, they got a particular fucking problem with everybody, and that like just their plight seems to be being shat upon on both sides. Yeah. But I will say though, like, I don't know if this fight makes sense to me. I've been thinking about it a lot. I might get in trouble. I just don't. Right. I don't know why they have to. If you're born a boy and you want to be a woman, I get that. But it's like, forcing other people and fighting them about telling them what they should be thinking what a woman is just seems like a fight that doesn't seem winnable, whether it's right or wrong. It's just looking at a woman and being like, you ain't a woman, I'm redefining woman, seems like a fight you're not going to win. And I'm not saying that I'm against it. I'm just saying like, all right, good luck.
It doesn't seem like it's worth it. I get in this argument all the time. It was like, who gives a fuck? If the person says they identify as a woman, then that's their life. My only encounter with them is right now. I'm like, I don't care. Like, I'm a part of their lives. And if it's a friend, then I'm going to continue being a friend. Yeah, I look at it, you know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know why people internalize shit so bad. It's that controlling thing where people want control.
Yeah.
Usually people who are outraged about shit like that have zero control of their lives. And that's usually their way of going, this is why the world's fucked up. It's like, no, your world's fucked up just because you don't apply yourself. You're fat, you're gross, your wife ugly.
Preach, nigga. Preach, nigga.
Yeah. It's the same people who like hate on interracial dating. I don't get it anymore, but when I used to post like pictures of my wife online, people go, oh, what happened to black women? You don't got no black woman. But then I look, they always ugly and single. And I'm like, because people in relationships don't have time to complain about who someone else is dating. But
there's this one girl who I was fucking with, and she kept going, you only like white girls, whatever. And I'm like, you're black, I'm fucking with you, whatever, you only like white girls. And now I look up, she's dating a white dude. I'm like,
she had to give you shit before she felt confident enough.
Yeah.
She had to see you, how you react to the scrutiny. And she was like, well, fuck it. If he's fine with it, with me teasing him, then I'm going to go get this fucking Vienna sausage.
She was screening you for herself. That was a screening, nigga. Yeah, that's what that
was. It just made me very angry. And I don't want to point it out to her. I'm not going to be bad. I'm just like, I need an apology or something. Like, something, because you said it a lot. You were vicious with the shit.
Yo, you definitely.
Like, now you're all like, oh, I think we all need to love each other. No, what the fuck? Wait, who the fuck? It just makes me mad.
Hold on, let's get some plugs out of the way real quick. See, what you plugging, man?
Let me just say I like trans people, and I don't want them to fucking die or anything. I don't want to get them. I'm not trying to get
them. No, we all like. I like trans people too. I feel like that's a statement that I don't have to say. I'm not out here fucking causing any rhetoric against them.
No,
I'm not making their lives worse. I'm not cringing whenever I see. Like, I used to have one joke.
And for what it's worth, trans people make the most fun bartenders because you don't know how the conversation is going to go.
It's true. They are a good company. You never know in general what's going to happen. And that's fun.
Yeah, somebody who's like, I like that shit. It's like, you're a cool person. You're interesting. I used to have just one joke, and I may bring it back. And it was not homophobic. It was just about like how everybody expects the world to move like that whenever some change happens. They expect the change to be immediately instead of realizing that everybody's still on dial up. Like, it's not this fast speed internet shit. Everybody got their processing system got to get different. I'm like, I'm fine with gay relationships and trans relationships by talking about it like this, but if I see it, I will still jump a little bit. Like, if I'm walking outside after a show and I see two dudes kissing, I'll still jump, but I won't be like, ah, fuck that. But if you told me, yo, there were two dudes kissing outside, be careful, I'll be like, yo, fuck you for for judging them, but thank you for the heads up. Now my mind is prepared. My mind is prepared for that shit. And I don't look at it as a hating joke. I look at it as like I'm progressive, but in increments. It's very slow. Yeah.
I think progression really, you'd be progressive when you start to talk about the nuance.
Yeah.
I would say this. We don't since trans people are the focus, we can talk more shit about gay people now. Right? Have you noticed that? Like, we couldn't talk shit about gays 10 years ago. Now it's okay, there's a little nuance.
Room in the house.
Yeah, people on the group. So my thing with gays, this is what annoys me back in the day, was like, you couldn't talk any shit about them. I'm like, but they are also men.
Yeah.
And gross men are gross men, regardless of what hole they want to put shit in. And yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. So, like, we got to point out the gross motherfuckers sometimes. Whether they're gay, straight, yeah, or trans, there are gross motherfuckers who need to be accounted for, who would just violate your shit regardless, because they're just violators, yeah, which has nothing to do with their fucking sexual orientation. It's just, yeah, different violating, yeah, motherfuckers. So, I don't know. But, like, now you can point that out more.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
That's
funny. Yeah, there were many a time where before I used to fight, there were situations where I would do a gay show or some shit, and a dude would do, like, weird shit, where, like, one time I was sitting on the couch watching, and I looked down, and this dude's hand was, like, under, like, I was like, oh, shit. And I assumed I sat on his hand.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and was like, no, you're good. And then I was, like, expecting him to move his hand. And I was like, all right, move. He's like, no, you're good. I'm like, no, nigga, move your hand. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's just small, and I'm not accounting to everybody. I'm just saying, yeah, we got to account for these creepy motherfuckers. Me Too has made, yeah, it clear that niggas, these creepy motherfuckers, yeah, were, when you pointed out.
All right, let's get these plugs out of the way real quick, though.
Oh,
so what you plug in? Sorry.
Watch my comedy special, Lockdown Special on YouTube. Lockdown Special. You see, YouTube. I guess go to SeatonSmith.com and everything is there. Follow me, watch my shit, be my friend.
Dope. You know what to do, people. You can find me at MonroeMartinComedy.com, MonroeMartinIII on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Check out my other podcast, the 6 Foot Nothing podcast. Saturday morning cartoons are all available on my website. Check them out today. Derek, the king of Staten Island.
Hey, just see me at the Great Boy at the group. And check out this new movie out called King Staten Island. It's a fun time. I'm in it. It's a really good time.
The nigga get to dance. I still think that's my favorite part of the movie. Because when you get to see your friends be themselves on film, you know what I mean? It's like this nigga's been dancing since I've known him, and he's finally got to do it on a big screen. Well, a little screen right now because fucking COVID.
Yeah, we all home.
But when the COVID is lifted, they may, like, I hope they re-release all the movies that they released during this thing. Like, for a reduced price, I think that'd be cool. Let people get the theater treatment again. But I got to see the goofy nigga pop lock and dance and do all the shit that I deemed annoying. I got to see that shit. I was proud of it.
That's fucking beautiful.
Thanks, man.
It's great to see your friends on.
Thank you, fellas. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate it. Just trying to bring on black actors, man.
Let's hit some topics. We're trying to be topical right now. You know, The Help was the most watched movie on Netflix since this whole thing?
I can see that.
How the fuck is The Help the most? What happened during these riots and these police shootings made people go, you know what? Maybe this movie has some secrets. Maybe this movie will teach me how to deal with black people.
Huh. Was that movie, The Hidden Figures, like a sequel to The Help?
Like, as soon as they got done being made, they just went straight over to NASA.
Yeah, let's put some spaceships in the next one, y'all. We're going to put some spaceships in the next one.
Help, they help white people. Spaceships. They help spaceships.
Yeah.
We're going to have another one.
My only memory of The Help, I seen The Help in theaters, and I went to Times Square, and I got bed bugs. And that's so I can never separate those two. Every time I think of The Help, I think about getting bit up in the movie theater in Times Square about bed bugs. And then bitches didn't help at all.
I fucked my ex watching the Lego movie, so that's what I always think of when I see the Lego movie.
Which one? The first one?
The first one. We saw it was on Broadway and like 75th Street. That one, the movie theater with the fucking cushion seats.
You were fucking in a movie theater?
Yeah. And you know what's weird? Fun story. We fucked in the movie theater, and then later that night I had a set at the comic strip. And it was only 11 people in the show. Yes. And two of them raised their hand and were like, yo, did you see the Lego movie early today? I was like, get the fuck out of here.
I was like, I was there, but I didn't see it.
No, they were there. They saw us fucking. That's what I'm about to say.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yes. Oh, my brain didn't put that together.
I know.
God damn. Hilarious. Good for them for not snitching on you, too. I think these people are fucking... They was like, everyone's happy. Everything is awesome.
Yeah. Fucking, my hair at the back, afro back then, I was distinct. Plus, that was the old white woman. So, yeah, it looked.
That's so cool.
They were like, they literally raised their hand like it was class. Like, excuse me, what do you mean the movie theater showed me that? Did you see the Lego movie? Because I think we saw it. You fucking. So. And we loved it.
So anyway, you fucking.
I think it's even fucking.
Better say anyways, this is a good talk, guys. Thanks for the talk. I need to do this.
Sorry it took us so long to get you on, but you're somebody we always wanted to have on the podcast, man.
No worries, man. I'm always in my hole, nigga. So just call me whatever.
Yeah. Spotless mind of Seton Smith. Yeah,
man. Thanks, man. Thanks for listening to my rambles and shit, man. Y'all are dope.
Yeah, very interesting rambles and shit that I think that I've never considered that I'll definitely start to apply. I want to know what books you're reading too, because I definitely need to start reading more, nigga, because my grammar is terrible.
Oh, I don't know if that's a book thing. You can probably just, I do a lot of YouTube videos. That's just a lot easier and you get other shit done. I'm a YouTube video. I'll send you YouTube clips. I mean, I'm like at the point, I'm old now, where I can like listen to a 6-hour lecture while I'm doing other shit. It's just fun. Yeah.
I was getting teased by Chloe and them last week because I was listening to a whole audio book while riding my bike. We're riding bikes together. And they're playing music, and I'm listening to an audiobook because I'm like, why the fuck would I listen to music when I can just get some information?
Exactly. No, it's a great time. That shit builds up. It builds up over time where you start knowing shit. I mean, I don't know. I'm not rich, but I'm happy. You know what I mean?
There you go.
That's another form of being prosperous. So, and some people would rather be that than rich. Because rich should still be aggravated because now everybody wants your shit. I'd rather be secretly rich, though. I don't want anybody knowing I'm fucking rich.
Yeah. No, I love that shit. Yeah. Where you just randomly produce this one hit show. You get your two broke girls moment.
Yep.
And then you just
And they go, is he still doing stuff? And it's just like, probably.
He does a lot of artsy weird shit. He pulls a dick out a lot. Yeah. But, he's rich, so he doesn't get
it's a lot of artsy weird stuff. It's a lot of
Dylan, how much time we got?
Very
how much
strange.
Time we got left? Dylan, are we done?
We're done.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Over an hour, but y'all can keep going. Do you? Just keep going.
All right, let's wrap this joint up, yo.
Wrap it up, yo.
Seton, I really appreciate it, man. Thank you for kicking it with us, man. Great talk.
Hey,
glad to Thanks, see you safe, man.
Yeah, man, you're awesome. Thanks, man. I hope I'm gonna read the script. I'll talk to you later this week, all right?
All right, man.
All right, man. Peace, Mr. King.
Bye. All right. Y'all be good.
Nice.